Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Judges, and that will be where we'll turn this evening as well. Judges chapter 17. We looked there this morning. We'll be looking a little bit at 18 as well, but our focus is chapter 17, and the Lord willing tonight we'll be looking at 19 and some of the events in 20 and 21. Judges is a book depicting Israel in troubled times, troubled people, troubled ways, and I guess nowadays we feel like our own society is losing its way, drifting further from Christian mores and love for God. Well, maybe Judges can help us. Judges 17. There was a man in the hill country of Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said to his mother, the 1,100 pieces of silver that were taken from you, about which you uttered a curse and also spoke it in my ears, behold, the silver's with me, I took it. And his mother said, blessed be my son by the Lord. And he restored the 1,100 pieces of silver to his mother. And his mother said, I dedicate the silver to the Lord from my hand for my son to make a carved image and a metal image. Now, therefore, I will restore it to you. So when he restored the money to his mother, his mother took 200 pieces of silver and gave it to the silversmith, who made it into a carved image and a metal image. And it was in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and household gods, and ordained one of his sons, who became his priest. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now there was a young man of Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed from the town of Bethlehem in Judah to sojourn where he could find a place. And as he journeyed, he came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah. And Micah said to him, where do you come from? And he said to him, I'm a Levite of Bethlehem in Judah. I am going to sojourn where I can find a place. And Micah said to him, stay with me and be to me a father and a priest, and I will give you 10 pieces of silver a year and a suit of clothes and your living. And the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man became to him like one of his sons. And Micah ordained the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, now I know that the Lord will prosper me because I have a Levite as priest. That's our reading from God's word. May he bless it to us. Congregation, going through the book of Judges, sort of like traveling on a road in which you find yourself on a paved highway and you find billboards advertising the same thing, and you drive down and it's the same billboard, same title. And the first billboard you come across in the book of Judges on your little paved journey is, once again, Israel sinned and the eyes of the Lord and cried out to him in her misery, cried out for help. Once again, Israel sinned. You drive further into a few more chapters. Israel sinned again and sought help from the Lord. Israel sinned again and sought help from the Lord. And then the various judges you read about are God's merciful reply to their crying out for mercy. But understand, in the book of Judges, it's usually just one little tribal geographic area that it's talking about. the sort of problems this tribe had, where their inheritance was with these neighboring pagan peoples. And then the judge provided brings deliverance for a while, sort of, kind of, a little bit. But it's not a real solution. And you come to the end, the Samson, the big Samson narrative, the Danite. And a crying out people, and he has to pretty much fight them all by himself. In fact, his own people hand him over to the Philistines. And his biggest victory comes by dying with the enemies. Now, you've been on this paved highway, the same billboard. You get to chapter 17, you've taken a turn off. And now you're on this gravel road. And you feel the scruggy road and all the pebbles banging against the undercarriage of your car. And new billboards. There was no king in Israel in those days. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And now from 17 to the end, you're going to keep getting that billboard. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's a red alert, by the way. Hello? Red alert! Judges is going to describe some pretty awful stuff. You want to know what life was like among God's covenant tabernacle going people in those days? Read on. Red alert. There was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right. It's right in my own eyes, as I see it. And so we arrive at Micah, the Ephraimite, and his do-it-yourself religion. Do it yourself. He's still religious. He's very religious. A religious guy. When he was a young man, you'd want your daughter dating this Micah guy. Look how religious he is. Devout guy. But his religiousness, his religiosity is do it yourself. Self-made, man-made, self-willed religion. So we're given this terrible portrait of what life was like in the days of the judges. We're introduced that we're in, it's Highlander country. If they were Scotchmen, they would have a little brogue here. The Ephraimites were Highlanders. His name was Micah. Who is like Yahweh? And so he must have had a pious dad too. Nice name. And we're introduced right away. He said to his mother, the 1,100 pieces of silver taken from you, about which he uttered a curse, because he heard his mother utter a curse. Whoever stole this, may this person be damned, and all of that. Yeah, you spoke that in my ears. I'm the guy. I did it. Here it is. And immediately his mother, from curse, may this person be damned, from that, before God, to forgiven, it's fine, all's good. Blessed be my son by the Lord, by Yahweh. And he restored the 1,100 pieces to his mother. And his mother also shows some piety here. I dedicate the silver to the Lord from my hand for my son. A donation to the Lord for him. And then it all is twisted and sideways. To do what? To make a carved image and a metal image. And now, therefore, I'll restore it to you. And then as part of their religiosity, what comes next of this 1,100 pieces devoted to the Lord, actually 200 are taken out only, given to the silversmith, who then makes a carved image of wood and a molten image of metal and probably overlaid it with gold or something, these little gods, these little idols. And it was in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a shrine. Now, I don't know what you have in your backyard. In my backyard, I have a shed. And my shed, I suppose if you put a steeple on it, it could pass as a little chapel. In the state of Iowa, in rural Iowa, they have these, every sprinkled throughout the state, they have these things called wayside chapels. So you're buzzing along the road in Iowa, and some rural, and then wham, you can pull off, and they have this tiny little white, cute little miniature church. And you can step in there and do some praying, and who knows what shenanigans go on at the wayside chapels, but they have those in Iowa. Now, my shed, I suppose, I could turn into a shrine, put some pew benches in it, build a little pulpit, take a steeple, plop that on there. And then I'd have a shrine, have a little chapel, and I still need a priest, I need a minister. And then I could have my own little, well, you find somebody, want to be minister, I'll pay you. And then you go to church. You don't even have to do COVID jammy church like we got used to. You know, we sit there and sip our cocoa and our coffee and watch church in our jammies. And isn't this comfortable and quaint? I kind of like it. Maybe I like it better. Yeah, maybe you'd like having a little backyard chapel, too, with your own little minister who says the exact things you tell him to say, preaches the exact way you want him to preach, and reinforces you in the exact things you want to believe, and ignores all the stuff you're wanting to ignore about you and your life and the world. And there, isn't that nice? And you could set up some idols and stuff. By the way, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. It's a siren going off. The author of Judges isn't going to say, isn't this reprehensible? It goes against Deuteronomy this and Exodus that and all these passages about idolatry. Isn't this a scandal? He's not going to do that. He's going to use shorthand. There was no king in Israel. Everyone's doing is whatever they thought is best. But this is a religious guy. He's committed. He cares. He's a thief who gives it back. The money's devoted. He's going to make it into religious use. Glory to God in the highest. We got to care about our faith. We got to sacrifice for it. And you look at all of his religious activity here, and that's what you find. So he even has this guy, well, he ordains his own son to be priest because he doesn't have one. And so there he is. And then we're introduced, little scene change, to this fellow, a young man of Bethlehem and Judah. Ooh, Judah, that's quality tribe, right? Bethlehem, that will have big significance. Levite, that's important. He's on a sojourn, looking for a place. Well, you know, God had given these people places. He'd assigned every tribe its borders, its locations within promised land. But things hadn't gone as directed. And now throughout the period of Judges, they are disordered, displaced, unhappy. And here's a Levite looking for a place, and he comes through the Highlander country. Maybe those Ephraimites spoke a little funny. And he comes to the house of Micah, and wow, Levite, son, you're fired. I got a Levite. And look, 10 pieces of silver a year, your clothes, your living, a place to stay. This will be great. You can be my Levite. And he goes in. And he was content to dwell there, and the young man was content, and he was treated like one of his sons, and he ordains, Micah ordains. Who does the ordaining? Well, Micah does the ordaining of the priest, and he's in his house. And then you get a glimpse into how Micah views this, what do-it-yourself religion, the theology that's in back of it. Now I know the Lord will prosper me because I have a Levite as priest. Now there is a little hiccup here. Whereas all priests were Levites, not all Levites were to be priests. You see, you're going to learn a little later that he comes from the line of Moses, not the line of Aaron. And those who were to be priests were to be of the line of Aaron. Close enough. Levite. Good enough. Can't get picky about this stuff. So he has his shrine. He has his chapel. He has his images. He has his idols. We're told that he made for himself an ephod so he could practice some divinization. He can inquire of God and maybe mystically get some reply, some revelation. And he has all the garments and the stuff. Now I know the Lord will bless me because I have a Levite. See, I followed some of the rules. In those days, there was no king in Israel. In those days, it was do-it-yourself religion. In those days, it was do what's right in my own eyes religion. In those days, I'll worship God on my terms, as I see fit. In those days, I don't need to pay attention to laws like the second commandment or the first. But I'll try to get scrupulous about Levite priesthood. In those days, I'll ignore God's big words and I'll fixate on maybe a smaller one. In those days, God had made a shrine, a tabernacle. There was no temple yet. And that tabernacle was located also in Ephraim, not that far away, in Shiloh. And that was the place of priesthood. Genuine priesthood. That was the place of law. That was the place of Ark of Covenant. That was the place of sacrifice. That was the place of forgiveness. That was the place of faithful Word of God taught, explained. That was the real ephod, the real priesthood, the real place of mercy and grace and help and strength in times of trouble. But I'd rather have it in my backyard. And I'd rather have my own priest. You see what happens when we turn in on ourselves and we become our own standard of what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's convenient and what I happen to like and want. When religion becomes handmade, homemade, man-made, do it yourself. It's very ugly stuff. And yet, Judges isn't going to say, see how ugly that is? In those days, there was no king in Israel because most of the people reading this aren't living in the days of the judges. They're living in the days of a king, David. See how it was when we didn't have David? See how it was when there wasn't law and order? See how it was when people did what was right in their own eyes? See how it was when society was unraveled and religion was corrupt? See how it was in those days? And of course, you can't help but think about our days. See how it is. See how it is when people chase idols of things, of cars, of property, of stuff. Their life revolves around it. They live for it. They die for it. They sacrifice for it. This is life. This is meaning. See what it is like in these days? People who get moral on certain things while they flagrantly ignore God's will, God's way, God's word. We'll have every God we want in front of the God who is. We'll worship our gods any way we please instead of the God who is. We'll use his name however we think not to use or to use. We'll make it as frivolous can be. Because in these days, the king who's Jesus isn't the king in their hearts. When they do what's right in their own eyes. In these days. And we'll care about some lives, but not lives in the womb. We all have a future. We all start somewhere. We all need nurture, even outside the womb. We need nurture for a lot of years to be able to leave the nest and fly. We're dependent community creatures that need community and need our mothers first and most. In these days, too. Ignore love for neighbor. Ignore love for God. In those days, there's no King Jesus in their heart, and they do whatever they please. In these days. And yet, people go to church. People gather around health and wealth preachers. Have you ever listened to that much? You are basically selfish. It's all about you. Believe in Jesus so God will do you a favor and life will go swell for you because he's just a means to the end of you. It's false religion. It's do-it-yourself religion. It's twist Jesus into whatever shape you want to remake him. Religion. In Jesus' name. Religion. But it's not in the name of Jesus. Do it yourself, religion. In those days. And it's also religion that the theology behind it is because I keep the right rules and my intentions are good, I'll be blessed. We would call it works righteousness religion. Do it. Jump the right hoops. Go over the right bar. Check the right boxes. And, you know, it's like a contract. Well, God has no choice but to check, check, yeah. Signed, sealed, all right, yeah. Blessed. Twisted, ignorant, foolish, half-hearted, half-informed. Oh, sounds like neighbors we have. Sounds like religious people we talk to. May it not be true of us. Man-made, do-it-yourself religion. You know, a lot of churches have been wounded since the COVID crisis. Couldn't meet for worship. Met via Zoom. Imagine some generations before that was possible. What would have become of us? I refer to it as jammy church. Some people are still in love with jammy church. I think for shut-ins, it's wonderful that they can participate this way. But we need to not neglect assembling together. Because it's not do-it-yourself religion. It's not something we invent. Part of the problem is everyone ever wants to cut and trim and clip and shape the God of the Bible into something manageable and safe and fits comfortably in the life we already live. And we don't so much want a God who's going to push us out of our comfort zones and expose our idols and idolatry and show up our hypocrisies and tell us to repent but come to a table of healing. Where's the table? But that's what we're called to prepare to do. not to look at someone else's sins, not to look at democratic sins, but look at our own sins, our own failings, our own hypocrisies. Now, in chapter 18, it goes from bad to worse. There was a tribe of Israelites called the Danites. For all the guys named Dan, you're named after Daniel. You don't want to be named after the Danites. Okay? And just hit that one there. The Danites hadn't fulfilled what they were to do in the conquest. So you know what happened? They didn't have a place. They didn't have an inheritance. They didn't have a land. So they're nomads, and they're floating around looking for a place. Because the place assigned to them by God, they refused to do what it took to get it. So now they're floating and looking, and they're sniffing who they can take over. And they find this town of Laish, outside covenant territory. But here's a humble little community minding its own business. Let's get them. But along the way, their spies had spied out Micah and inquired of Micah, should we do this? As if Micah's priest is qualified to tell him what to do. But in those days, there was no king in Israel. You did whatever you wanted. And they did. Sure. So the army of the Danites come, and they stop off at Micah. And their eyes get as big as saucers, and they see his priest and his idols and his shrine, and they say, hey, why not? I mean, if you're going to wipe out a town that's innocently sitting there, that's not even part of your inheritance, there's no God commission for this, okay? What's the big deal of stealing your neighbor's property? And his idols, and his shrine, and his ephod, and his priest. And they make a better deal for him. You're just with one little measly household in the hill country of Ephraim. You can be the priest of a whole tribe, man. And he says, well, yeah, why aren't I moving up in the religious world? I'm climbing the ranks from a little rural church to, man, I've made it to the big city, and I've got part of a big ministry staff. Look at me, priest of a tribe. And so they come to Laish and they laid waste. They kill every man, woman, and child, burn the city down, rename the city Dan. And now they have a place. This man's idolatry becomes tribal idolatry. This man's do-it-yourself religion becomes do-it-yourself do religion that's right in our own eyes at a big tribal scale. This little sin becomes a big sin. It's a sin that will continue to live until you get to Jeroboam and the setting up of the golden calf and the Danites and the northern tribes saying, adios, Judah, and a split. And we'll have this Mosaic phony priesthood be our priests from here on out until one day the Assyrians come and give them no place, no land, no future. And they're lost, vanish like dust into history. But you see, you already had a precursor of that too, because in chapter 18, when they're making off with all of Micah's stuff, you can imagine he comes and he sees all his stuff property and he gathers men and he's on the war path. He's going to get his stuff back, man. I'm going to get my stuff back. And the Danites, well, they have a much bigger army. They see this guy squealing after him. What's the matter with you? And he's beside himself. He's just livid. He's just out of his mind with anger. In verse 22. And they shouted to the people of Dan, and they turned around and said to Micah, what's the matter with you that you come with such a company? And he said, you take my gods that I made and the priest, and you go away, and what have I left? What have I left? Well, nothing. When you don't have God, you have nothing. When you don't have the Lord, you don't have much. You can gain the whole world and forfeit your soul. But it's not a good deal. What have I left? He goes home without shrine, without ephod, without images, without priest. He goes home with his do-it-yourself religion, doesn't bring him joy, doesn't bring him happiness, doesn't bring him a future, doesn't bring him victory, doesn't bring him success, just leaves him empty. What have I left? In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did as they saw fit, did what was right in their own eyes. How is it going? In our days, everyone, there's no King Jesus in their hearts. There's plenty of idols that live there. How is it going? We want America the way it was a while back. Do you really want, is that all you want? You just want to turn the clock back 10 years, 5 years, 8 years. You're content with that? It was more civil. It's better. But we can still have the pornification of our culture. We can still have a blogosphere world full of hate and lies and mean speech and hate speech. We can still be a society that's secular and perverse and worldly. I just wanted to turn the clock back a few years. Really? And that's not do-it-yourself religion? That's not doing what's right on our own eyes? You see, the scary thing about what happens here is it's happening not to atheistic people, agnostic people. I don't know if there's a God or not people. This is happening to God's people. This is happening to covenant people, law-instructed people. This is happening, as you learn at the very end of chapter 18, to descendants of Moses' people. Because the Levite, we're told, at the very end there, is Jonathan, son of Gershom, son of Moses. What? You trace the Mosaic line of God's instrument for deliverance, and you go down some generations, and now here's a guy playing church and doing what's right in his own eyes. One of his own. One generation believes, the next generation assumes, the third generation loses. It's why a man must be born again. That's why it will never, you can't get your faith from grandma. You can't hang on to grandma's faith for your faith. You can only have your own faith. You can only have your own devotion, your own pleading to Jesus, your own devotion, your own need for Him, your own prayers of mercy and receiving grace. Someone else can't do it for you. Do-it-yourself religion is rife in our land. It's everywhere. And it plays out in a Christian life that is religious but judgmental, not forgiving. Religious, maybe moralistic, but not full of grace. Religious, but not centered on Christ. We come to the table of the Lord because we need Christ. We know we're weak. We all fail. We all fall short. We're all hypocritical. We all doubt. We all compromise. The world gets in all of us. Or the hatred of the world does. I don't do those things, but I'm in a rage of hatred. Just like the world. And you're worldly anyway. We need Jesus. We need His blood. We need His body. We need His forgiveness. We live in days for us. There's no Jesus in their hearts, but may Jesus be in our hearts. In our days, may Jesus be in our hearts, be King of our hearts, ruler of our lives, so that we do what's right in God's eyes. So that we sacrifice and offer ourselves what's true in God's eyes. So we walk with Him in mercy and grace, being full of grace to others because our life is full of His grace in us. That's all right in God's eyes. Because there's not a person sitting here or standing here this morning who doesn't need the fullest measure of God's mercy and grace and kindness and patience and forbearance and care and enduring love. And there's not one of us who needs a smidgen less than what He gives. We need it all. And so we come to a communion table, the Lord willing, where we take on our lips and our mouth physical elements, so simple, pointing to that reality, pointing to the reality of His love for us, His forgiveness of us, His care for us. Because that's a done-for-you religion. The Lord's Supper is a done-for-you faith. Accomplished-for-you reality. Not all try hard, and if I jump the right hoops and do the following right religious stuff, now the Lord will bless me. I have done the following. No, I just come to a table to receive what's done for me. That's who I need. That's what I need. I need Him. A Jesus who died for me, born for me. Cursed for me, abandoned, forsaken for me, provided for me, the Holy Spirit for me, patient with me, not like Samson dying with his enemies to make them dying, but dying for his enemies, even me, to make me His. Holy for me, obedient for me, faithful for me, it's finished for me, resurrected for me, ascended for me, coming again on clouds of glory for me, for us. Done for us, religion. Provided for us, not do it yourself, not man-made, but Christ accomplished religion. So we all need. That's what He gives. A merciful God. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Their own eyes. In our days, there's King Christ, King Jesus. May He live in our hearts. May He bring the triumph of kingdom come. He's done it all for us. And so may we live doing what's right in His eyes. Amen. Our gracious God, bless Your word to us, we ask. We need Your word. We need this truth. We need to hear a message like this in our troubled times, our do-it-yourself circumstances. Lord, bless Your word to us and bless us to be people of your word. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.